every time any government makes a change, it scares people a bit more. And these are major changes. Any good government would try not to make changes to suit. They should leave it alone.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy, with your host, Annie Nelson. An Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Anne Nelson, your host for today's show. It's interesting and taxing when governments and opposition parties start talking about changing the rules, changing the goalposts surrounding our retirement savings. And it's happening again. How can we support ourselves in retirement when we can't rely on a structure that will be safe from political parties' intervention? And today on the Retire Well, Retire Happy show, I have Noel Whittaker, financial commentator here in Australia. Welcome to the show, Noel.
Thanks, Anne. Great to be on it again.
It's interesting times, and we are concerned generally about Labor's announced policy to do with the imputation credit refund, and it's been sending alarm bells off around the country. So why are we all getting so upset?
Well, the whole thing about it is it hits the poorest people hardest. I mean, if you're a wealthy self-funded retiree, you can get around it very easily, because if your money is in a retail or industry fund, you won't be affected. So all anyone has to do with a self-managed super fund is to roll the balance into an industry or retail fund, and they've escaped Labor's tax. Or what you could do, if you've got things like your office premises in your super fund, is to just cash out the Australian shares in your super fund, which if it's in pension mode, you can do tax-free anyway, and then roll that money into a separate retail fund into the Australian shares component. And then if you do that, you're keeping your own self-managed fund, but you move the Australian shares to a retail fund, and you've still got them and the imputation credits.
For those of the listeners that may not know what the hell we're talking about.
No, that'll be most of them, yeah.
Just to explain the process of the refunding of excess imputation credits as it stands now.
Well, the whole purpose of the imputation system is to stop double taxation. So if I get a dividend of, say, $700 from a bank, say,
At the moment.
If you got a dividend of $700 from, say, a bank share, it could contain franking credits of $300. Now, if you're a low-income person, like a super fund or a pensioner or a pension fund, you get all the credits back. So that dividend isn't just tax-free. It brings a cash bonus with it. Many retirees need those imputation credits to live. What the Labor policy is, for anyone who's a non-pensioner, you will lose your imputation credits.
The imputation credits are used when we do a tax return at the end of financial year.
Yeah, we get them back. Well, if we're working, they reduce the tax on the dividend. If you are not working and you've got no income, under the present system, we get them back. What Labor wants to do is stop us getting them back.
So it depends what your income is.
Yes, it does. And also, if you're a pensioner, Labor's going to exempt you. So if you're a charity or a pensioner, you get exempt it. Now, the cutoff point for a pensioner couple is around $830,000. If you've got, say, $950,000 of assets, you don't get a pension. So you're going to lose all your imputation credits and you still don't get a pension. So what we're going to see now is a whole industry of people who will be getting rid of assets just to get the age pension, just to get the franking credits. So the whole system is it's driving people to look for the age pension instead of being self-reliant.
Well, I wonder how much thought that's been put into this proposal, because it's something that they're going to do regardless, isn't it?
The whole catch-22 is that everyone can evade it except widows. And that's the sad thing about it, because what I'm saying, if you're a pensioner couple and you've got, say, 800,000 of assets and then one of you dies suddenly, the other person will lose all the pension and their franking credit. It's a tax on widows it's going to be. It is not going to raise a dollar except from widows. It's very, very bad. It's very bad indeed.
It doesn't sound as though they've thought it through too much, because they think they're going to get a lot of money into the government coffers.
Well, see, what they haven't worked out either is that if you've got a big super fund, maybe shares, you've got 1.6 per member in pension mode and the balance in accumulation mode. One of the Turnbull changes, the people in accumulation mode are paying 15% tax. Now, the average big fund might be 30% shares at max, and the imputation credits on those shares won't go to Labor. They will be going to pay the tax on the other income, like listed property trusts and property syndicates and overseas shares. All the imputation credits that the self-managed funds used to have, if they're big funds, will now go to Turnbull. So there's no money there at all.
So the people that are most disadvantaged are single people that have some money.
Yeah, the people most disadvantaged are those that I'd say about $400,000 over the pension limit, but under $2 million. Because if you've got $2 or $3 million, you can still cope okay. But if you've got, say, 1.4 and no pension, you can't easily get yourself down to that 830,000 part. I mean, you can do it by travelling and spending money on your house, but some people don't want to do that. But what it will be is people plan for retirement now. They will be looking to keep a bigger house because that doesn't count for the pension. Instead of people being focused on saving for self-funded retirement, it'll move the focus to how can I get the age pension. It's terrible.
Very terrible. And do you think it could affect people investing in shares?
Well, certainly self-managed funds will now probably swing away more to overseas shares. They might go to listed property trusts. They might go to things like listed property that don't pay franked dividends. Because if you can get 10% unfranked, this is a better outcome than 7% franked. It'll change the way people look at assets, that's all. And it won't be good for the stock market.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
What's going to happen to the Australian stock market? Because that's traditionally how especially retirees have invested, isn't it? The banks are the
bank shares, the index funds, yes.
You know, what is it, 5% maybe return plus the franking credit?
Yeah. So what it will do, it's going to take the return from shares down. It'll take the after-tax return shares down to people, and therefore they may seek other alternatives, yes.
So I think Australian companies should be having a word to Labor as well.
Well, mate, you can't talk to them. They gave a speech last week where they confirmed they had many other changes about to happen if they get elected. They want to reduce the concessional cap. They want to reduce the non-concessional cap. They want to abolish the bring forward rule, you know, all those kind of things. They keep changing the goalposts. And everyone tells me I'm sick of the rules changing.
There's going to be a lot of people lose confidence in the superannuation system we have here in Australia.
Every time any government makes a change, it scares people a bit more. And these are major changes. Any good government would try not to make changes to super. They should leave it alone.
Well, they're the ones that want us to save for our retirement so we don't become pensioners.
That's right. And the moment we do save, we get attacked.
And look at all the money that the government is saving by not having to pay a pension to the self-funded retirees. Aren't they taking that into consideration?
I think they think short-term. They think short-term.
Yeah. And in Australia, we seem to be, in the Western world, one of the few countries where everyone doesn't get a pension. In America, and was it in Britain, they all get a pension from the government. If they've been paying tax all their lives, they get some sort of a pension. It may not be a big pension, but they get it regardless of their income and their assets.
They do, but I do think it's taxable. Whereas money from superannuation isn't taxable at the moment. But you can bet your boots they will keep changing it.
It's to do with trust funds. What happens when that income is passed to the beneficiaries? Do they lose their tax-free level?
First of all, the whole thing is that to get your credits back, you must be on a low income. So people with a family trust can still use the imputation credits if they get a taxable income from the family trust. But if the affairs of the trust are so arranged that they don't pay tax, they will lose them. They'll lose the franking credit. All they're doing, they're taking away the franking credits from low-income people, except pensioners and charities, which will be superannuation funds. But I think it's important to understand every self-managed fund can escape the tax if they roll to a retail or industry fund, which they might want to do. Well, Labor hates self-managed funds. Labor's goal was to wipe out self-managed funds.
Is that possible? I suppose anything's possible.
Well, you've just seen here, I mean, if the way to escape this is to roll part of your money to an industry or retail fund or your whole self-managed fund into an industry or retail fund. But having said that, a lot of people's self-managed funds shouldn't have them anyway. And what tends to happen is a couple retire and one person, normally the bloke, starts to have his own fund and he gets a bit sick and the wife doesn't want to do it and there's a big mess. So a lot of people's self-managed funds shouldn't have them anyway. A lot of people with self-managed funds better off to let the experts do it because as people get older, they can't cope as well, let's face it. And normally one person in the couple, and it's normally the man but not always, he'll want to run the fund. And if he suddenly gets ill, the wife can't do it.
Yep. So how easy is it to wind it up?
It's easy. Winding up's easy, and all you do is pick a good retail fund and transfer the money to it, and they'll do all the work.
Yep.
Also, it's important to understand that if you've got a big self-managed fund or a big retail fund, the most you can leave to your spouse is $1.6 million. So if you had, say, $4.6 million in your super fund, $3 million will go to the spouse as a tax-free lump sum, but they've got to invest it outside the system. That's why I think for many retirees, they're better off with managed funds because I think it's easier and less trouble.
And would they be owning those funds in joint name so that it passes to the next person?
Well, I think it's very, very important to think of estate planning, and there's a massive difference between the asset cutoff for a single to an asset cutoff for a couple. The single's, from memory, is about 600, a couple's about 800. When one partner dies and they usually the other partner's over the threshold and they lose the pension as well as the partner, it's a double whammy. And now under Labor, they'll lose the pension and the partner and the franking credits. It's a triple whammy. So what people should do is take advice and maybe leave it to your kids. I mean, if you're a couple and you're 85, how much more do you want if a partner dies? So if in the will and all the family's happy, instead of leaving $800,000 to your partner, you can leave $300,000 to the kids and $500,000 apart, then that would guarantee the partner still gets a pension and the franking credits.
Right. So there's a way.
There was always a way, but the better you plan, the better it's going to work. That's why taking advice is critical.
That's the problem. There's not enough detail. I've even heard that, I don't know about Labor, but some do-gooders out there want our family home included in our assets test, and I think that would be an absolute disaster for all retirees.
Well, again, it'll change the goalpost. I think what will happen, not today, but in the future, is the age pension will be like a hex debt. So if a couple get $30,000 age pension, it'll be rolled up like a reverse mortgage against their house. And when they sell the house, the government will get it back. So that's what's going to happen, but not yet. Well, the age pension is unsustainable at the moment. And the theory has moved from the age pension is a right to the age pension is welfare. And if a couple's got $800,000, the thinking is, well, why should they be on welfare?
Yeah.
But if you say to those people, we're going to take off the franking credits and the pension, well, that's your double whammy again. Yeah. But bear in mind, for this to happen, Labor's got to get in, which is looking increasingly likely, thanks to Malcolm Turnbull, and then the laws have got to get passed. So we're 2 or 3 years away at least from this. But I'll be watching it and writing about it, I can promise you.
And you mentioned before that Labor is also planning to change other things like the dates that we are, the ages that we are able to access, what did you say, access our pensions?
No, there's a worldwide move to raise pension ages.
Yeah.
At our pension age already, the laws are in place to take it up to 67.
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah.
I'll be in that lot. Yeah.
That's all right. I'm too old for that.
Do you also think that they're going to change the age when we can start accessing our superannuation?
Well, they might try to, but it's going to be very difficult if you've got, say, $600,000 in super and you can't touch it and you can't get a pension. How do you live? I think what will happen is eventually you'll be forced to take part of your superannuation as an income stream. But that's been talked about for years. Yeah. But that's going to happen eventually, I think.
Right.
They're also working on things. The main trouble is that most retirees don't want to spend their superannuation because they don't know how long they're going to live.
Mm.
And therefore they live more frugally than they need to and leave behind more money than they expect to leave behind. And they're trying to get some sort of a system or an investment you can take out whereby you put part of your superannuation into a deferred annuity now, which doesn't kick in until you're 85. But the only way to make that work is to pool it, which means those who don't live to 85 are paying for the ones that do. And that's the big stumbling block. They've been working on it for 3 years. They don't know how to do it.
They can't make it that it can be an inherited thing, no.
Well, the only way to make it work really is to create a pool of people in the hope that those who die young will pay for the ones who die old. But, of course, very tricky to do that, believe me. But this whole space, everyone's thinking all the time about it.
If you've got excess income to pay more into your superannuation, like my children are in their 30s and I don't think that they're interested in putting extra amounts of money into their superannuation because they don't trust the governments, I suppose. They don't want to have all their money trapped in superannuation.
If you're 30 now, it's at least 30 years before you can touch it. There'll be many, many changes in the next 30 years. And I can see why young people are wary of super. And it's another one of Labor's proposals. If you earn more than $200,000, to tax your contribution at 30%. So if the most you can put in is $25,000 and you lose a third, there's not much going in, is there?
No. So how are we supposed to provide for the future? So
I agree.
And I'm concerned about the age that they obviously, if they're thinking of if they increase the age when you can access your superannuation, they obviously want you to keep working longer.
Yes, which is fine if you're like you and I. But how about the tradie? You know, there's a lot of people whose job is so physically tough they can't work over, say, 60.
Yeah.
It's all right for me. I write books and columns and I talk to you. That's easy. I can do it until I'm 90, but not if you're a parole tradie.
Okay. Well, in summary, what advice have you got out there at the moment with people looking at this losing their franking credits?
Well, it's a long way off. I mean, it's at least an election off, so it's a couple of years off. So my advice is just be aware of it and bear in mind you can get around it if it happens by moving to a retail fund. So it won't be the end of the world unless you're too old to be in super. Then you're caught. So the people that will be hit and will be defenceless are people who are not in super and their assets are between about 900,000 and 2 million. They're the ones who'll be hit.
Yeah. And if their income from dividends exceeds the minimum tax rate, they get trapped there too?
No. I mean, if you get, say, 30,000, 21,000 of the dividends, it's actually added to the.
I know a lady who has shares in her own name. She's an older lady that never had before superannuation. So she gets income from her dividends and then she gets her franking credits.
Yeah.
So if her income is above the minimum tax rate.
She'll get some franking credits back, yes.
She will.
She'll get some, yes. But she'll only get enough to wipe out the tax. So all this is, what they want to do is don't let your refund imputation credits if you have more imputation credits than we'll pay your tax with. It's complex business.
Yes, it is. So everyone needs to go and talk to a financial advisor or their accountant.
Well, I wouldn't be in a hurry to do that yet. I mean, as I said, it's a long way off. Labor's got to get in and then these laws have to be passed. So watch this space.
It's going to create a lot of comment from a lot of people, and I think it's finally getting the people that are retired and haven't been paying much attention to what's going on politically. I think it's going to get them back into being more active, I suppose.
I certainly hope so, because they certainly need to be.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you. It's been great talking with Noel Whittaker, financial commentator here in Australia.
Thanks, Anne.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.